that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he starts to bring an issue up. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him. Everybody said that's not a good thing. So they're going outside of Christ now. From him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have preached, that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for I do now persuade men or God. Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So that's a key. If you're a people pleaser, it's going to be difficult to be a Christ pleaser. It's going to be difficult to be a God pleaser. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached unto you by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church beyond measure and tried it to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Amen. It pleased God to separate him from them and call me through his grace. And it goes on and on and on. I just want to stop right there. But here's the gospel summary in verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Everybody say this present evil age. See, most people think salvation is just when I got my ticket to heaven and someday, one day, I'm going to be saved. But we only think salvation in part that way. Salvation includes deliverance from this present evil age. Everybody say deliverance from this present evil age. So the present evil age is evil because it takes you away from your God-intended purpose and plan. Evil is anything that takes you away from what God intended or planned for you. And you've been delivered because of what Jesus has done from this present evil age. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this present evil age, we got to highlight, in which the Galatians live, is the same as ours. A fallen world under the rule of Satan. We've said it before. Every non-Christian, not person who's not born again, not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, is dominated by a ruler of darkness. That's one of the hierarchies of demons. They've been dominated. This world is under the dominion of the wicked one, Satan, and his demon cohorts. That makes this age, this time frame we live in, evil. Anything outside of Christ, we've said before, is crisis. That's why he made us new, where? In Christ. And when we're in Christ, we're not in crisis. And we're in Christ, we've been delivered from this present evil age. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we're not talking like the world talks and talks like, oh, this is going on, that's going on, this is happening. And you're just looking at things mentally or naturally, so to speak, and you're never looking at things from the lens of the Spirit, which is where you are and who you are and what you possess in Christ. You've been delivered from this present evil age. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So these chapters in Galatians, if you go back and study them, the word gospel, the first two chapters, the gospel is found 10 times. And he's telling us, which was the summary in verse 4, but these scriptures that we just read indicate three most important truths about Christ's death that we want to receive today. Number one, Christ's death was voluntary. What did he do? Verse 4, you see it right there. Who gave himself? Did we ask him to give himself? He gave himself. Why? Because he loved us. He saw us in slavery. He saw us in sin. He saw us under satanic control and domination. And he gave himself for our sins. So he laid down of his own free will. No one made him do it. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, it was vicarious. Why was it vicarious? Because he went to the cross, which is a symbol of torture. It's not a symbol of pride. It's not a symbol of religion. The cross is a torturous tool that the Roman government used to bring about the most dishonoring and distasteful death that anybody could have fathomed. So he was beaten and he died on the cross, which was the worst kind of death that existed at that time. They didn't have the gas chamber. They didn't have the electric chair. They didn't have the, you know, people, you know, on death row. They, you know, he went to the cross and he was beat and bruised and bleeding. It was vicarious, praise God. And so he went to the cross for you and for me. That means he took a beat down and he was driven into that cross with railroad spikes. It was vicarious. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so why was he doing that? Because he had to pay the price for us and the penalty for our sins in our place, redeeming and remitting the payment with his blood for our sins. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. That he might deliver us, it was victorious from this present evil age. Now we have permanent deliverance, but we also have temporary, conditional, and daily deliverance. Y'all not hearing me? Thank you for the one. Thank you, Lord. We have permanent deliverance, but we have temporary, right? Conditional and situational deliverance. Present evil age. So the cross of Christ being made new in Christ has made us equipped and empowered with things that happen on a daily, things that happen during your week that bring evil as a temptation to you. Remember, Jesus told us even to pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. One of the seven components of the Lord's Prayer model, deliver us from evil. So under the New Testament, we have been delivered from evil. Somebody said, praise the Lord. In Christ, we've been delivered from this present evil age. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Now, you have to think in Christ-mindedness. You have to have a conscience of who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. That means we're victorious. Everybody say, I'm victorious. But they had a problem. What was it? Verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you unto his grace to a different gospel. The turning away, brothers and sisters, was not a variation from the true gospel, but an altogether different gospel. That's why we've been on this since the beginning of May. Hammering it, reinforcing it, restating it, reinforcing it. Why? Because the first thing the devil comes to steal is what? Your identity. You don't know who you are. You act like it's someone else. And particularly if you've grown up in other religions and you didn't have that foundation of who you are in Christ built into you, bred into you, fed into you, you go back to being religious, which is a different gospel. It's just like you say, just everybody look up to the ceiling. You, and just imagine, you're seated up there, that's considered heavenly places in Christ, but you take a ladder and climb all the way back down here to a different seat. You were up there in the righteous, as the righteousness of God in Christ. Now you step way back down here to religion. That's what the Galatian church did. They stepped all the way back down to religion, which is death. A different gospel. Amen. It wasn't no gospel at all, because see, nobody likes religion. I'd never found a joyful religious Christian. Somebody who goes back to legalism, rules, regimentation, rituals, things that try to do through the energy of their flesh, religious correctness. That's not a gospel at all. That's not what the gospel is. Good news. That's not good news at all. The good news is we're up there with Jesus. In heavenly places, in seated next to him in Christ. But most people come back down here to religion and self-righteousness. Jesus' righteousness come down here, self-righteousness. And that's why he's saying, you turned away, got that word underscored, to a different gospel. Because when you're self-righteous, you're talking about what I do, what I don't do, what I didn't do. How you feel guilty about what you hadn't done. I hadn't prayed enough. I hadn't read my Bible. I'm behind on my Bible reading. I'm doing this. And you're thinking about works and trying to merit and get credits and do all this stuff. All through the energy of F-L-E-S-H, flesh and human effort. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this turning away from God, or the phrase turning away from God, turning away so soon, describes a military revolt. Now, y'all know we had, you know, some riots in certain cities and picketing, protesting. Some people were paid to create what? A revolt. In California and other parts of our nation, you know, shame on them for taking the money to make people turn into a mob. Right? Innocent bystanders, business owners, and small business representatives were broken into, and people act silly, right? Because they want to just protest. Well, somebody stirred that up. But this is the same thing with what was happening to Galatia, and that's happening now. People get in, turn into a military revolt. See, lordship, he's my king, he's my ruler, he's my commander in chief. That means I follow orders. That's why we were talking about willing and obedient during the offering teaching, right? You follow orders. Oh, Lord, I'm yours to command on a daily, right? Lord, I'm yours to command. But what do I do when I revolt? I rebel. I'm getting out of rank. I'm not walking in line with my Lord. I'm getting out of line. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to have my own way. Somebody say, praise God. In other words, they were turncoats to the gospel. Now, in wartime, back in the military, some of y'all remember being in the military, you know, back then, they called them objectors and people that went AWOL, and a lot of people who deserted the battleground, they were shot. They considered treasonous. Or they were put and court-martialed in court. Serious thing, right? And he was saying, man, I marvel that you come out of church and you had 8 weeks of teaching and you're going back to being, you're coming down the ladder to go back to being religious and self-righteous. How do you know you're self-righteous? You're talking about yourself. talking about me, myself, and I, or mind. I'm just talking about my kids, my flesh, my what I got going on. That's pushing to the edge of outside of Christ talk, not in Christ talk. And it can start a revolt. Because remember, when you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. Somebody said, praise the Lord. So you quickly gravitated, they quickly, to turncoats to the gospel, they quickly gravitated to a mongrel gospel, which is a perversion of truth in Christ about Christ. So what they say is, in Paul's day, they said Christ is not enough. Christ is not king completely. I've got to do something. I've got to add something. I've got to mix something. It's a mongrel gospel. You got to be cautious of that, and particularly people who have been affected by that. Because like we said, it's a deception. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly. That's the deception of the people get deceived, and people who are deceived will talk to you and say, well, if Christ is not, why is all this happening? Why I got to do something. I got to do this. 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 And they think, they look to man, they look to the flesh, and they become accursed. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you think about the Galatian church. The theme was grace versus legalism. Why did Paul have to sit down and write a letter to Galatia? Well, first the Lord told him, the Holy Spirit inspired him. But he had to write it because they're all revolting. They're all running back. They're all going backwards. Now, in this period of time, God is saying, let's go forward. Don't move backwards. Don't go back outside of Christ. This is not just a teaching. This is a truth that we must embrace and fully engage in. Somebody say, praise God. So you should be talking differently because you're in Christ. You should be thinking differently because you're in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. You should be acting differently. Why? Because in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. A new creature. We ought to be walking around sharing with us what this is, what I saw today. What'd you see? I saw myself in Christ. And I was so impressed. I never seen that before. I'd seen something new today. And so I'm just thanking the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I mean, our flesh always wants to gravitate to get attention to itself. Look at me. Look at my hair. I don't have much hair. So y'all, I can't talk that way. But you look at my hair. Look at my skin. Look at my wounds. Look at me. Look at me. And when's the last time we looked at him? When's the last time you looked at him and said, look at him. Look at what I saw because I'm in him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And why am I saying this? Because you know, as the Lord takes us to another part of the scriptures and the gospels, we can't let this go. And we can't let things influence us to go back to a mongrel gospel. I'm just going to seal off for a moment. Got to think about it. How do we talk? How do we testify? If we talk and testify our struggles, are we talking in Christ or out of Christ? Now, I know I heard somebody say, Pastor, don't judge me that way. I'm not judging you. I just want you to be able to discern. If I'm just talking my struggles and my challenges, Jesus never met any challenge that was he didn't overcome, right? He was tempted at all points as we are, yet without what? Sin. And the gospel summary says that his death delivered us and rescued us from what? This present evil age. So when I talk about my problems, without the lens of victory, not the lens of a victim, the lens of victory. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. So I'm getting overwhelmed, or if I'm getting overcome, then that's not in Christ's truth and thinking and talking. I'm outside of Christ. I'm telling everybody that my struggle is so real that Jesus can't even get it done. Ooh. I think it was brother right here. He's helping me. He's helped me. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Everybody looking at me like I'm crazy. Now, you got to remember, in the Gospel of Galatians, in the book of Galatians, there was two main points about grace. Salvation is a grace. And what? Spirituality is a grace. That's what most people talk about. Salvation. Salvation is just not my ticket to heaven. Remember, I said salvation is twofold. It's your temporary healing, safety, preservation, protection, prosperity, and deliverance. But if you don't know that, that's already been provided in Christ and through Christ and by Christ, I'm going to talk like I got to earn my healing. I got to merit my prosperity. I've got to earn a deliverance. Why? Because I need to fast and pray for 40 days. Can't do that. None of us should do that. That's religion, trying to get it done through work. I got to fast and pray. I got to pray 5 hours to get saved or get delivered from this present situation I'm dealing with. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, around him, there's no other. Jesus is the way, right? Jesus is the answer. Grace, you're either going to get it by grace or you're not going to get it through legalism. That was their problem. Another problem was what? Spirituality by grace. What is spirituality? Spirituality is spiritual maturity, spirit being spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-controlled, spirit-fruitfulness. So if I talk like, well, I don't know what God's telling me. I don't know what God's telling me to do. Now think about it. If God is good enough, better than you and I as a father, grandfather, your great-grandfather, you're great. Did you know you're great? You're great. So he went from grand to great, right? Everybody say, Lou's blessed. So did you know if you have enough sense to communicate to your own daughters and your own grandchildren and your own great-grandchildren, God knows how to talk to his own children if you're his child. So why would we say, I don't know what God's telling me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. We're saying, I got to earn a spirituality. Spirituality just means responsive to, controlled by, led by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit can't talk to me. I can't discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's not truth. That's another gospel. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Holy Spirit would be where? With you and in you forever. That means he's closer to you than somebody outside of you. That means he's closer to you. He's closer to you than you sleeping next to your spouse in the bed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you can hear Holy Spirit. You can hear the Holy Spirit. You can hear and discern the voice of God. You don't have to act like, well, I'm special, so I can't hear God. I don't know what God's saying to me. You've come down those ladder, and you're trying to do it through religion. Mongrel gospel. Now, if let's take Brother Lou again. If he can talk to his daughters and his children and his two daughters and the grandchildren and his great granddaughter every day, and they hear him, what about us? Can we hear God every day? Should we be able to hear God every day? Praise God. If we don't hear God on a regular, then that's a problem. Somebody say, that's a problem. And you can get deceived because there's many voices out there, right? But you got to be able to know, that's my Father talking to me. That's my Lord talking to me. That's the Holy Spirit witnessing to my spirit. Everybody say, salvation is a grace. Spirituality is a grace. That means I shouldn't talk contrary or contradictory to those things and act like God's leaving me out. God's put me in a situation where I got to add to my salvation or my spirituality outside of Christ instead of in Christ. Ooh, y'all making me work this morning. I'm like a tractor trying to plow up stuff. Y'all good? Everybody good? Praise the Lord. Let me make sure my time is good. Okay, we're still decent. So, legalism is something that has to be added to the grace of God to obtain salvation or attain spirituality. This implies some type of kind of works, religious tradition, religious correctness. The works oppositely direct of unmerited, undeserved favor and goodness and grace and the finished works of Christ. Remember, the gospel is good news. But religion and legalism tells you, you got to do something about this. And if you're around people long enough, sometimes people tell you, you need to do something about this. Instead of starting from where he finished, Jesus has done something about this. That's a good friend, faith friend, right? Jesus has already taken care of this healing. Now what you need to do is hook up where he's already completed. Add your faith and then grace comes. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's good news. I don't have to get my deliverance. Jesus already got my deliverance. I don't have to get my victory. Jesus has already gotten me the victory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I don't have to get my healing because Jesus already bought and paid for my healing. It's all been made new in Christ. I got healed yesterday, and so the devil tried to say, you ain't get your healing this time. You're not going to get it this time. And what is he trying to do? Get you to come down the ladder. And now I got to work for this thing because God gave me a couple of freebies. But was your salvation free? Well, the healing is included in that. So is your healing free? Instead of running to the hospital and the doctor and looking at, oh, my goodness, we were talking about bills. I mean, you get all these bills, and sometimes they could run up to the thousands. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God our healing is free because of his grace and because of his love and because of his mercy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, y'all should be getting happier than this because this is good news, right? But see, when you're religious, you think I got to perform. I came to church late because God's mad at me. I shorted out my tithe, so now God's mad at me. He's going to punish me. Where does that talk come from? Are y'all here? A mongrel gospel, right? Praise God. So we think the good news is not good enough. You still have to do something. You still have to perform something perfectly to attain salvation or spirituality. You have to add something to what Jesus did. When he said it's finished, was he telling a lie or was he telling an incomplete tale? No, he said it's finished. It's finished. Redemption is finished. Deliverance is finished. Healing is finished. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Prosperity is finished. Blessing is finished. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. There's no more blessings. Lord, please bless me. No, he's already blessed you with everything in Christ. We talked about that last week. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So our religious traditions cancel and cuts off God's transactions. The Bible says every day he rains grace on the just and the unjust. But see, our religious traditions will cancel and cut off God's transactions. Now you think about it. Every day God's pouring out grace, favors that you didn't deserve or merit or earn. He's pouring out his goodness on you. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all. But what happens? Your religious tradition cuts it off. And it cancels that transaction. And God says, don't send it there. Because they're acting like I haven't done anything. They're talking like I haven't finished everything. They're talking like they have to do something. And when God did it all, Jesus did it all. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And you can cut off your transaction because you're talking about your flesh and what your feelings are, what the facts are, and what I got to do, or you got to do something, you got to take care of this. And we put pressure on each other, or put other people put pressure on you. You got to do, you got to take care of this, you got to deal with this, you got to do. Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible, but I'm talking about where your faith lies, where your focus is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody say it with me. Our religious traditions cancels and cuts off God's transactions of grace every day. Now, why am I saying this? Because July is going to be more grace. He wants you to be set up for more grace, a better place, and a smoother race. It's going to accelerate. But if you come down the ladder from your heavenly position and get back in this seat of religion, you're going to be canceling out everything heaven's throwing out to you every day. Oh, they cut off. They closed their bank account. They closed their receiver. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's going to be a glorious July. And there's going to be more heavenly supply. And if you walk in faith and in grace, nothing that you need will be denied. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. How were you saved? Everybody say, by grace. Through faith. And he said, and that not of yourselves. That means I didn't come up with the grace, and I didn't even manufacture the faith in a sense where it was my original faith. God gave me, he gave us credit or loaned us faith to use so we could be saved. He even gave you the faith to believe and then open the door for grace to come in and deliver you from this present evil age. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, if y'all need to shut the door, go ahead, because I know there's a lot of activity out there. Yeah, we don't want anybody distracted because the devil's good at that. He's already good enough at that. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, hallelujah. So he said, by grace you're saved through faith. Right? Then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus, unto good works that we God prepared for and that we should walk in them. Now, Titus 3:5 says he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done. This is the New Living Translation. Titus 3:5, write that scripture down, and we'll get right to this one on the board. Titus 3:5, New Living Translation. He saved us not because of the righteous things we've done. Now, if he didn't save us by the righteous things we've done, he won't heal us by the righteous things we do, or he prosper us by the righteous things we do. He did it according to what? But because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So don't get puffed up and don't get proud. Stay humble. Everybody hear me? Stay humble. when you get promoted, when you make progress. Stay humble when you get your blessings flowing through you. Stay humble. Everybody say, stay humble. Now look at a friend next to you. Look at two people next to you. Look left or right or back, front and back, and say, would you please stay humble? Would you please stay humble? Now look at somebody else and say, you're in charge of your own humility department. All right. So salvation is by faith plus nothing. Salvation is by faith plus faith gives action and access to the empowerment of grace. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Faith in his finished works. Faith in who you are in Christ. Faith in his word. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, let's look at something real quick before we close. The law of identification. We said, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. And here's how God did it for us. Identification. Everybody say identification. Is defined as considering or treating as the same, the condition or the fact of being the same in all qualities under consideration. So our identity is wrapped up in what? Who you are in Christ and what you have in him. So we should be growing every day in our knowledge of who we are in Christ and what we have in him. We have a lot. We have more things that we can count and consider. Now, Ephesians 2, 5, and 6 says it this way. He gave us life together with Christ. That's identification. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. That means we're up there with him. That's our spiritual legal position. So think of it this way. Our Father God has already taken care of the devil. Your righteousness and your victory in life. Now we know what the devil is, who the devil is, demons are. That means you have authority over the devil. You have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Amen. Luke 10:19. And then of course righteousness. Everybody understand what righteousness is. Righteousness is different than religion. Righteousness means right standing with God or a good position with our Heavenly Father. That means that you have the ability to come before the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. That means you don't have to feel guilty to come to God, talk to God. Amen. And then, of course, you should have a righteousness consciousness, not a sin conscious. You should be conscious of the God on the inside of you. And then your victory in life. That means every day. So the same identical life, same victory, same joy, and blessings that are in Christ are now in where? In you. Praise God. Somebody say praise God. So God did this based on several spiritual laws. Now I'm not going to read the Romans account because of time. Your identification with Christ based on several spiritual laws. The whole Bible is about two people. Adam, first Adam, and the last Adam. And through the law of identification, he used that law to put us together with Christ so that Christ's victory is our victory. Christ's blessings are our blessings. Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. If he died for all of us, then all of us died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Somebody said, praise the Lord. So when you were buried with him, Romans 6 says, and then it says it several times, and then, of course, we were raised together with him. Amen. That's identification. And then we've been seated together with him. That's identification. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So in the mind of God and in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're with Jesus all the way to the cross, to the burial, to the resurrection, to the ascension. We belong in him. And our position is in him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's look at a chart real quick. You turn to the next slide, guys. Now you can see the first Adam. What happened with first Adam? Can everybody see it? In the first Adam, we had guilt, condemnation, separation, death. And here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 22. As in Adam, all die. We're born spiritually dead. We're born in sin. We needed to be born again. And then in the last Adam, so in Christ, all shall be what? Made alive. So we have no guilt, no condemnation, no separation, and life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we see what Galatians was telling us, Galatians 1:4, no sin in him, our sin was on him by his own volunteering. He took all of our sins. Now, which ones? Past, present, future. And the only way we get rid of sin is we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Unrighteous means nothing left that's not right with God. All unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So no guilt, no condemnation, no separation in life. Praise God. Next slide. We'll close it up here with this. So all these things we receive happen to us in Christ and to us and in us in Christ. We receive life. We experience no spiritual defects. So nobody can say, well, my parents were alcoholics, drug addicts, so I have this problem in my life. My parents were had these diseases. They run through my family. Why are you talking like that? That's not in Christ. Because what runs in your family doesn't have to run in you anymore. You don't have to go down the runway of being a diabetic or having these physical ailments, because that's hereditary. That's a family tradition. What family are you talking about? That's a family trait. Why are you talking like that? You're talking outside of Christ. Not in Christ. So we experience no spiritual, because Peter says it this way, we're not born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. That Greek word is sperma. That means the DNA of God. The DNA of God means there's no spiritual birth defects. We're the same spiritually as Christ is. In a sense of connected, oneness, sameness, identity. Praise God. Hallelujah. No spiritual birth defect. We're born of we're born of God. We are a child of God. So everybody say, praise the Lord. We're given access, rights, and privileges of God's kingdom. We pass from death to life. We become one with the Master. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet and praise God. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, don't go back, don't go back, don't go back. Yes, the enemy will attack, but don't let your hands be slack. For the battle's been won, and the victory is yours. Stand your ground by faith in him, and you'll see the victory manifest and move as it should. Praise God. And the blessings will flow in from heaven as you desire them. And would. Father, we thank you.